Goddess Show, your weekly podcast to help you sort out your belly, your hormones, and your relationship with food. And I'm your host, Kezia Hall, a holistic nutritionist and all-round health geek. But alas, I still quite haven't gotten the hang of changing my son's nappies on time. I mean, literally every day. He just ends up sitting in a wee because I've forgotten to change them. So welcome to this week's podcast, and we are diving into the pill, the oral contraceptive pill, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So in this episode, I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit about how it works, what are the good sides of the pill, and then the not so good sides. So how it impacts your body, your nutrient status, and all that sort of good stuff. Plus, I begin to touch on what to do if you are on the pill for contraceptive reasons. So what are other options for you from a contraception point of view? And if you're on the pill to help with hormones, to help with skin, to help with PCOS, what are your beginning steps for that? So this is a juicy topic. Millen may have interrupted me several times through, and you might hear him rustling away in the background. But I really feel like this is a really important topic to talk about, just so that you can have and make a really informed decision for yourself. Because taking medication every day for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 15 years, like some of my clients, does have its impact. And it's just really good to know what that impact is and therefore make your own choice about it. So I hope this is helpful. If you have any further questions, then do let me know, because I'm planning out future episodes and I would love to do episodes on things that really float your boat. So just let me know via Instagram or Facebook at Supernaturally Healthy. And if you are listening to the Gut Goddess Show and have not completed the Gut Goddess quiz yet, then what are you waiting for? This is a handcrafted quiz / online assessment that I created to help you know what the heck's going on with your body. Like, is it your hormones? Is it your digestion or your gut? Is it, you know, what was it, your metabolism? Like, what is at the root cause of your problems? And when you complete the quiz, I send you out like a bespoke plan of action, as well as you finding out which profile is most suited to you and your symptoms. You also get a kind of plan of action of how to get started so that you can feel awesome ASAP. So if you haven't done that, head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org/quiz. And sorry, you might hear that rustling. That's Millen really chewing on one of those crinkly books in the background. So without further ado, let's get on and chat about the pill. Talking about the pill. That is the plan. So I'm going to go through this in different stages. We're going to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's my rough structure. But before we dive in, let's look first at, on a big picture, what is happening when you take the pill. So the pill is a prescribed medication, a prescribed drug made by pharmaceutical companies that is given to you. It's a major medication. You know, this isn't like a, oh, I'll just take this. It is a major medication and drug that you are on, that you take to prevent pregnancy, which is great. I mean, how it works often. Now, there's lots of different types of pills. And, you know, guys, I am a holistic nutritionist. I'm not a pharmacist. I'm not a biochemist. I am, you know, this is a bigger picture of how it works. And these, often what most of the pills do, again, there's different types, different combinations, different, you know, different ones going on. There's not just one pill, contraceptive pill out there. There's different forms. But generally what it does is you take a pill that contains kind of these sort of artificial forms of hormones that will give the message to the brain to stop ovulation. So what you do by taking this pill is every day you're taking these kind of doses of these artificial hormones that are saying to the brain, hey, 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 we don't need to ovulate. Actually, you know, we're all good. And so, because in case you didn't know, every healthy female of kind of childbearing age lives through this cycle, roughly an average of 28 days, in which the body is preparing for potential pregnancy and having ovulation. This is, that's just basically what our bodies do. And so when you take the pill, most of the pills are basically preventing the brain from sending the right messages to the ovaries, to prevent ovulation, which is the release of the egg into the fallopian tubes in the hope that some sperm swims along and boom, you make a baby. So what it'll do is it'll stop that. So you're artificially and chemically inducing a lack of ovulation. That is what you're doing when you are taking the pill. Again, different pills work differently, but that's a bigger picture. So that's a little bit of what it does, which, I mean, even that might even be a surprise to you. You might have just gone to your doctor, been given the pill 10 years ago, and never really thought about how it works. I'd really advise you, any medication you take, think about how it works and what it's doing to your body. What my goal is with this episode isn't to tell you what you should and shouldn't do, is to actually inform you so that you can make really intentional choices and full of awareness, and you are able to take full responsibility for your choices. And so often we just blindly take these pills and medications and either are not told about the potential impact that we can have, you know, and we're going to talk about post-pill syndrome and the actual impact that taking these things long-term can have on the body. And we need to just take a little bit of thought of what we're putting in our body. So the pill is a way of chemically preventing ovulation and therefore pregnancy. So that's a little bit of what it is. So let's look at the good of the pill. The main reason why lots of women take it is obviously to stop having a baby. You're at a point in their life, you know, lots of people first go onto the pill when they're maybe teenagers and they're just starting to have sex and they don't want to get pregnant. I mean, that is a great outcome, you know, is that there's hopefully potentially less teenage pregnancies, less unwanted pregnancies overall. And it's allowed women to have a bit more, a whole lot more kind of ownership of their body and of their life. You know, I have just had a baby, but I'm so grateful actually that having a baby wasn't the automatic result of me just deciding to have sex, that actually I could in some level have some choice around when I had a baby and I could choose to prevent pregnancy and for when I didn't want it. And for that, I'm hugely grateful. And I think things like the contraceptive pill and other forms of contraception have actually really helped women in many ways to just take more ownership of their bodies and really helped us to show up in the world and really fight for things like equal rights. You know, I'm a total feminist at heart. So in some respects, I love how the pill has contributed to that. You know, not that long ago, women, if they could have children, would just be getting pregnant consistently and would end up, you know, with 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 children, or would be consistently suffering from things like miscarriages or really traumatic births just because they had a sex drive and want to have sex. And I think we should be able to have sex without being forced to get pregnant because sex is fun. So that is the good. There is some good. Also, the other good side of it is that I do know some people that have got onto the pill, and we'll talk about this in a bit, and it's not primarily for contraceptive reasons, and it's maybe helped to settle down painful periods. Maybe it's helped with PCOS. Maybe it's helped to like restart their period in some way. And so they found it really helpful for that. Also, women can find, say, with skin issues, they might have really bad acne breakouts on their face, and then they go on the pill and it really calms it down. So those are some good results of the pill, aren't they? I mean, I've never had acne, thankfully, or, you know, it's never been very bad. But if I had really bad acne on my face and it was really affecting my self-esteem and my confidence, I would feel pretty good about a pill that could take that away. So that's the good. But let's look at the bad and the ugly. Now, full disclaimer here, you can probably tell from the title, I am not a big fan of the contraceptive pill, even with those good things. So this is obviously inherently biased with my own experience and opinion and interpretation of research. But overall, I'm not a huge fan of it. But the main thing I'm not a big fan of is the lack of information we get around when we're prescribed it. Because again, it is a major medication. You can't just go to the shop and buy the contraceptive pill. It needs to be prescribed and on a repeat prescription because it is a drug that we take. And now back in the day, the pill was originally created to be used for a short period of time. Just, you know, because back in the day you'd get married and then usually you'd automatically start having kids, and it was, you know, the beginning of women's rights, where it's like, oh, maybe a woman wants to do more than just be pregnant and have children all the time. And so it was designed to give women a little bit of that buffer after they got married and started having sex. But now it is regularly, women I meet in my kind of one-to-one practice have regularly been on the pill for like 10, 15 years. And we, our generation, my generation, really, so I'm 31, we are kind of the lab rats for this. So the medication, the pill, got created. Obviously, it passed its initial kind of standards. You know, every medication needs to go through strict assessment and, you know, risk analysis before it's allowed to be prescribed. So it passed that. But there's never, it was a new medication. So there was, it hasn't been tested on women in taking it for 10 years, if that makes sense. Because, and we are that generation, we are the lab rats for this drug and for so many other drugs and things like GMO and all of another, these other things in our system. So we are now, we are the women that have potentially been on the pill for 10, 15 years. And there hasn't been an experiment where that's been done before. Does that make sense? And so what I'm finding in my client, with my clients, is that women have, well, maybe prescribed this when they were 14, 15, maybe for contraceptive reasons, but most of the time for period issues, for skin issues. And then maybe they hit, you know, maybe 32, 35, and they want to start having a baby. But then they come into so many health problems. Or by the time they've been on it for 15 years, they've got this whole hot pot of health problems going on. And they are a bit, they're feeling, you know, they want to have a baby, but there's hormonal issues. Maybe they're still getting acne. There's gut health issues. Maybe there's mood and depression going on. And actually, maybe they, it takes them a long time to actually fall pregnant. And maybe no one ever told them that taking the pill could actually get in the way of them actually having a baby in the future, which is what we're going to go on to talk about. So there is some, I'm just trying to, I feel very passionately about this, but I am aware that I really want you to know that it, my goal with this is that you make a good decision for you, and that you, if you want to keep on taking the pill, that's great, but you go into it with your eyes wide open, because most of the time people and women that I work with don't quite realize some of the consequences. So let's look at those. The bad. Often the contraceptive pill is given as this, and it's kind of resorted to as this kind of cure-all for menstrual problems. So I've had clients that have been diagnosed with PCOS, so they're put on the pill. I've had clients that have been told they have endometriosis, so they'll get put on the pill. Clients that have had acne, put on the pill. Clients that maybe have really heavy, flowing, horrible, painful periods, they get put on the pill. Clients that maybe have just irregular periods, get put on the pill. And it's become this general cure-all for period problems, but it's not. What the pill does for all of those issues is just mask symptoms. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't ask why. It doesn't actually heal the body. It just kind of tricks the brain into masking the symptoms. It tricks the brain into thinking there's no need to ovulate, and in a kind of a weird kind of menopausal state, which is artificially induced. It never solves the problem. So, and that's one of the biggest problems I have with it. Say you're 18 or say you're 25, you're still getting really bad acne and your periods are just all over the place. They're really irregular and they're really, really uncomfortable and painful. And that is not fun, guys. But say you go to the doctors, chances are you'll be prescribed the pill. And not told of any of the potential side effects or anything like that. You'll just get put onto it. But you're not actually dealing with the problem. By being prescribed the pill, there's no investigation. There's no asking why. There's no looking deeper. There's no saying, okay, well, you know, it's completely natural for a woman to have a period. That's a really, a woman having a healthy regular cycle is one of the key signs of health. I can't remember what, if it's the World Health Association or the Association of Endocrinologists. Anyway, it's one of the kind of really great life sources of, light vitality signs, you know, having a healthy regular period. So it's really, really important that we do have a healthy period. But if you're going to the doctor with acne and with irregular, sore, painful, heavy periods, there's no investigation of why you don't have that. And that's kind of one of my big problems, is it's just become this drug that's like, Oh, you've got period problems. Do you want to have kids right now? No? Okay, take this pill. Doesn't matter if you have endometriosis, doesn't matter if you have PCOS, doesn't matter if you have acne, doesn't matter if you have this, doesn't actually matter what's going on. We don't really care. Take this pill. That's the general approach. Again, that's not every doctor or every endocrinologist's approach. There are some amazing doctors out there that do ask why. But that is one of the issues I have with it, is that it's kind of this cure-all, and that is not what it's designed for. The pill was not designed to treat PCOS, as far as I'm aware. I'm really happy to stand corrected. The pill was not created to treat endometriosis. It was not created necessarily to treat acne. It was created to prevent pregnancy. And so it's I find that also unnerving, in that we just kind of go like, oh, here's this drug that's created and tested for this specific outcome. But, you know, let's just use it for these other bunch of autoimmune issues or for these other problems because, hey, I think it helps, maybe. I think actually women, we deserve better. I think we deserve someone to ask why. We deserve to have healthy, happy menstrual cycles. We don't just want to be fobbed off. Like, we don't want all hormonal problems just to be fobbed off with this pill that has potential side effects. And that is one of the big problems I have with it, is actually I'm so passionate about getting to the root issue. It is not fun to have painful, awful periods. It isn't. So I completely get why you would go on the pill. And I went on the pill a few years ago because my periods were really irregular. They were really heavy and painful. They would disappear for 3 months, come back, and I'd have like them for like every 2 weeks and then disappear again. I was also about to go traveling to India, so I would actually kind of want them to disappear because they were so painful and sore and heavy in the environment I was going to be in India. Sanitation and stuff wasn't going to be awesome. So I totally get, I have been on the pill myself. I have been on it in the past. Have to say, it did not agree with me at all. And I came off it after probably about 5 or 6 months because I got super depressed and started to put on weight and was not a happy body. My body did not like it at all. So I totally get why you'd want to be on it. But what I'm saying is, I think we deserve better. We deserve to find out why, and we deserve to heal our bodies, not just kind of trick our bodies into submission, if that makes sense. So that's one problem I have, is that it's kind of used as this solve all things. Another issue is we don't often get told about the impact of it and what it can do to our bodies and the impact it can actually have on our bodies. We just will get prescribed it, and then are often just on a repeat kind of prescription of it. So those are the kind of the bad or the darker side of sort of taking the pill. So what actually can happen? What is some of the nitty-gritty of how the pill can impact your body? So number one is, there's quite a lot of research that talks about the different implications and impact that being on the contraceptive pill can have on your body. So I'm just going to highlight a couple of the issues, but some of this information, you know, has been around since like the 70s. I was reading some papers this morning, well, not reading, glancing over them, shall we say, about that were from like 1970, the 1980s, talking about the oral contraceptive and some concerns people had around not only the impact on our nutrient status, but on a woman's sexuality and sex drive, on women's mood, and on future fertility. So there was a review done in, 2013. That's mainly what I am quoting from, and I'll link to that in the show notes, that looked about these kind of side effects of oral contraceptives, of the pill. So basically, to summarize, I'm not going to go into every single thing here, but to summarize, being on the pill, we know that from literature dating back from, say, the 1970s, shows that oral contraceptives do induce depletions of nutrients, which therefore have wider effects. So it affects things like your magnesium levels, it affects things like selenium and zinc. So in terms of your minerals, so that's how it can affect your mineral status. It can cause depletion in these things. And selenium is really important for healthy thyroid function. Magnesium is really important for your mental health, for your hormones, for your joints, for your muscles, for your energy production, for your mental well-being. Zinc is really essential for your skin. It's really essential for your immune system. It's really essential for so many factors. So when I talk about nutrient depletions, often we think about vitamins and minerals as like these things we supplement, and we think of them as supplementary sometimes to our lives, like, oh, it'd be nice to have some vitamin C. You know, it's a nice supplement to my life. No, vitamins and minerals are essential. They are essential for your life, you know, because all vitamins and minerals actually are often cofactors and these really important contributory parts of essential kind of essential elements that happen in the body. So, you know, magnesium is essential for the production of energy. Zinc plays an essential role in the immune system. These aren't like the body's going, oh, it'd be great to have some zinc, but if we don't get it, whatevs. It actually, these are essential things. Same with vitamins. So we know from kind of taking the oral contraceptives or the pill, things like your B12 status can be reduced and other B vitamins like folate. And we know that lots of the B vitamins, there's several B vitamins, there's like B12, B6, B2, you know, your folate, you know, they get called different things, which makes it confusing. But they're a really important part of DNA synthesis. So in as humans, we replicate DNA constantly. That's part of what happens. We have this cycle called the methylation cycle. And as an important part of our DNA replication, which is an essential part of our life and us staying alive, is all these different B vitamins are involved in that, B12 and folate. And if we want to get pregnant, again, if you think about getting pregnant, those early stages, there's rapid DNA replication happening in the body, which is why, you know, things like folic acid are recommended that you take during pregnancy. Although if you are getting pregnant, please take folate and please take it before you get pregnant. Just a side note, see previous episodes on preconception care on that, because that's a total bugbear I have. You don't want folic acid once you're pregnant. You want it before you're pregnant, and you want it in the form of folate. There we go. Just to summarize. But we know that oral contraceptives affect and depletes these B vitamins. It also plays a really important, so it folic acid, B2, B6 and B12 specifically in terms of actual nutrients. It also really impacts our vitamin C. Now, vitamin C isn't just helpful for our immune system. It's important for collagen production. It plays a role in glutathione, which is one of our really important antioxidants in the body. It plays a really important role in our progesterone production in the body. So it can cause depletions there. It also impacts our vitamin E level. So vitamin E is again another really important antioxidant in the body, and it can cause depletions from that aspect. So taking the pill isn't neutral. And that's probably the main aspect, our main thing I want you to take away. Taking the contraceptive pill is 100% your choice, and there can be some great reasons for taking it. I am not anti-medication, but what I want to emphasize is that you take medication in an informed fashion, because nearly all medication has side effects and it has nutrient interactions in the body. So when you take the contraceptive pill, you are going to be having these depletions in these vitamins and these minerals. Also, we know from research that taking the pill impacts your gut microbiome. So what I mean by that is that the bacterial and viral and fungal kind of diversity of your gut, known as the gut microbiome, is essential for your well-being as human. We just know that from research. That's just a really broad statement, but all of the research contributes to that. And taking the pill long term and even short term affects the health and state of your gut microbiome. And that's why long term, there's research linking things like the contraceptive pill to things like depression, anxiety, IBS type symptoms, all of these different things. So you've got that nutrient and mineral impact that it can have, but it also can really impact your gut health, that microbiome diversity, and therefore, which is why it can then be linked to mood disorders, IBS, and all of these different things. And all of these different things have been culminated together, and often when they're pulled together, gets called kind of post-pill or post-birth control syndrome. So there's a doctor who's a naturopathic doctor called Dr. Brighton. I'll link to her in the show notes. And she's done a great article on post-birth control symptom, which is syndrome, which is something she's kind of pooled together. You know, syndromes are really, they're not diseases, they're slightly different, and syndromes are often based on common symptoms. So things like loss of periods, heavy periods, infertility, hypothyroidism, headaches, hair loss, depression, anxiety, bloating, leaky gut, inflammation, all of those different things. These would be symptoms of what she calls post-birth control syndrome. It's also really, really common that you can have post-birth or post-pill infertility. So being on the pill can actually contribute to infertility in the long run. And it's really common for women to come off the pill and to actually really struggle to get pregnant, which, and that's documented in different research. And I found that with clients as well. Some women will come off the pill and get pregnant straight away, but it's not uncommon to actually really struggle while to get pregnant because the body has been having this kind of daily dose of artificial hormones, and then it's got to kind of readjust. Plus, there can be lots of these depletions. And if the body is really nutrient depleted, it's not going to want to make a baby because, again, these nutrients are so needed in order to produce a baby. So folate, we know that folate is an essential vitamin in order to create tiny humans in females' bodies because it's so important in that DNA replication. So this post-birth control syndrome or post-pill infertility, they're real things that can happen. And one of my problems is we don't really get told this. We often will be prescribed. I know when I was prescribed the pill, there was no chat about depletions. There was no chat about the side effects or potential risks that I was putting myself in for. So lots of women will get, they might experience some temporary post-pill infertility. And I feel like they've been cheated because they've never been told that this might be a potential outcome of being on the pill for 2, 3, 4, 10 years. So those are that's my little download really about the pill. Now, some of this might shock you. You might be like, oh my gosh, Kezia, I had no idea. You might be thinking, well, I kind of knew that, but for me right now, the pill, I'm really happy to do that. Or you might be thinking, well, what else do I do, Kezia? What the heck do I do? So if you are thinking you want to get off the pill, you want to stop taking the pill, here is a little bit of advice. So the first thing is it depends on what you're on the pill for. So let's first look at contraception. If you're primarily on the pill for contraception, then there's actually loads of other options out there. Obviously, you've got good old-fashioned condoms. I don't see a problem in using those. I know lots of women, maybe they... I'm going to be straight with you guys. Most of the resistance I have met in women around using condoms as a form of contraception is that their partners, their male partners, don't like them. Now, my personal opinion on that is that's not your problem. Your problem and your responsibility as a female is to look after your body and prevent pregnancy where you're looking to prevent pregnancy, but also look after your body so that if you do want to get pregnant, actually your body is as healthy as it can be in order to create a new human. The fact that your male partner may not like the feel of condoms, I mean, I personally think that is a horrendous excuse to subject yourself to these side effects that I just talked about. For me, I've just always said I'm never going on the pill. With my now husband, Joe, that was just out there. And I was a bit like, you just have to deal with that. You know, if that means, you know, it's either we have sex with condoms or we don't have sex. The choice is yours. And, you know, you can probably guess what the choice was there. So if that is you, if you have a partner that's resistant to using condoms, then I would really think about who you're taking responsibility for in that situation. So I've just had a little interruption with Mr. Merlin. So Merlin is now awake from his nap and joining us in this podcast recording. So if you hear snuffles and giggles in the background, here we are, just doing real life over at Supernaturally Healthy Headquarters, aka my living room. But when it comes to contraception, so you can use a barrier method, which is condoms. Also, you can implement a little bit of natural family planning. So this is where you get to know your cycle. If this, to be honest, only really works if you have a regular-ish cycle, but getting to know your cycle. So when you're ovulating, when you're not ovulating, there's loads of great apps and loads of natural kind of resources for this. Now there's loads, you'll probably see them on Instagram. There's like the Daisy app and lots of similar ones that help you to actually really get to know your cycle, first of all, and help you and inform you of when you are ovulating and most fertile. And this is a great thing to get to know with your body, because then you can not get pregnant when you don't want to get pregnant. So if you want to have sex on days that you are very fertile, you just use a condom. And then when you do want to get pregnant, you, like me, will probably get pregnant first time around because you know when you're ovulating, and it works. It's a great strategy for both ways. So for me, I've always used a little bit of both of these things. I've used Barry methods, so condoms, and really gotten to know my cycle well, and really spent a good amount of time healing and supporting my cycle so that it was regular and healthy. But what if you went on the pill because of issues with your hormones, with your periods? Maybe you had really heavy, painful periods, or maybe you get acne and it's just all over your face and it's just making you miserable. Maybe you have things like PCOS, endometriosis, all of those kinds of things. Well, first of all, I'm going to dive in deeper to a couple of these issues like PCOS and maybe endometriosis in future episodes. But the first thing you really want to do is actually learn to get to the root cause of these things. So while being on the pill might help with the symptoms immediately, it's not actually ever going to, or not always going to get to the root problem of it. So if you are on the pill currently for, say, skin issues, what you actually really want to start to do is support the body and begin to heal it whilst you're still on the pill. Same with PCOS, same with endometriosis. So actually there's loads you can do in whilst you're still taking the pill, or if you still want to take the pill. Like, I totally get it. If you get spots all over your face and the pill clears it right up, I can completely understand why you want to take it. And it's okay. It's really important that you feel confident and that you feel, you know, good in your own skin. Same with like endometriosis. Maybe being on the pill really helps reduce your pain. Well, of course you want to take it. There's nothing wrong with taking it, but there is things that you can do. And I would really, really encourage you, if you choose to keep on taking the pill, or even if you're on the pill just now, but you know you want to come off in the future, actually to really start thinking about replenishing some of these nutrients and minerals and vitamins and minerals that can be depleted through the pill. So I reckon that everyone who's on the pill, it would really be really helpful to take a kind of whole food based multivitamin. There's one of them linked to them on my site, and I'll link to it in the show notes. That would be a great place to start so that you can make sure you're getting all those vitamins and minerals that are you're potentially being depleted in. You can get them replenished, which I think is awesome. And if you are on the pill currently and you went on it for, say, skin issues or PCOS issues, then I'd really recommend you start to work with someone to really target those things. Because being on the pill is not necessarily going to stop you from having PCOS. It's not going to suddenly balance your hormones, although for some people it can help with that. But for most of the people I chat with, it just masks the symptoms. So begin to ask why and begin to work with someone and a team of people to really help unpick. Okay, why do you have acne even though you're 35 still? Why do you not ovulate? Why, you know, with PCOS, or why with endometriosis? Why do you have uterine cells growing outside of the uterus? You know, these questions, and create a kind of bespoke and tailored plan to help support your hormones, so that if you do want to come off the pill, you can do it in a slow way and actually find that you have a healthier body from after you've been on it than what you had to begin with. Does that make sense? So if you're using the pill for contraception, then explore other options, whether it be barrier method like condoms, natural planning. And also with things like that, you can even use things that are still contain artificial hormones, but at a lower dose. So things like the NuvaRing can be quite helpful for that. If you went on the pill to help sort out your skin or your PCOS or your heavy periods, then I'd really, really encourage you to actually start to address those issues and ask why. Work with a bunch of practitioners to help heal your body from that. And I would encourage you, if you're looking to come off the pill, then actually before you don't just stop it overnight, actually really prepare your body to come off the pill. So really make sure you're eating really well, you've dealt with any sugar addictions, you're eating lots of vegetables, you're taking a really good multivitamin, you're maybe done some work around your gut health, especially if you have any IBS type symptoms, and that you do that before you come off the pill in order to prevent any previous symptoms kind of kicking you in the face. And I've done this a lot with clients. I had a client that had been on the pill for a long time due to endometriosis, and she'd have various operations to remove growths and had been given the kind of all clear from the doctors, which was great. But we worked for a couple of months to get her body ready to come off the pill. And when she did come off the pill, she got her period back really well. It wasn't painful. It became really regular and she didn't have to deal with those side effects. So maybe in future episodes, I'll do an episode on kind of how to come off the pill in a really healthy fashion. But I really encourage you, don't just stop taking it overnight. Actually take at least 3 months to really support your body and really replenish all the lost kind of nutrients and vitamins and minerals that could have taken place, and to really support your gut and gut microbiome before you would even come off. So I hope that's been a helpful introduction. I feel like I've just touched the surface on it all, really. But hopefully you've gained a little bit of insight of how the pill works, of the impact it can have on your body, of the potential nutrient depletions and side effects of having it. And also feel like you have a good bit of an action plan of what to do next, whether you're on it for contraceptive reasons, maybe having a rethink of your contraception, or if you just prefer it as a contraceptive method, totally fine. But maybe now you know, okay, maybe I do need to just take a really good multivitamin, in which case head to the show notes and I can link to my favorite multivitamin that I recommend you to be on. So if you have any questions about this, let me know, because I can do future episodes on and go deeper on specific areas. But I hope this has helped you, and my goal is always just to empower you and inform you so that you can make your own choices and live your most healthiest, happiest, joy-filled life, whether or not you want to be on the pill or not. It's your choice, and I respect either choice with that. I just want you to make informed decisions, lovely. So let me know your questions. If you haven't left a review over at iTunes, then go ahead and do that now while you're listening and on the app. It would mean a lot to me, because it takes a lot of time and energy and money to keep this podcast coming to you each week. But I love doing it because I get such great feedback from you. And leaving a review on iTunes is just a really nice way of saying, hey, thanks, Kezia. I appreciate it. And it helps more people to find the podcast. So sending you lots of love. Bye.